In this episode of The Leadersmith, we're going to try to unpack what we can learn from Donald Trump, the businessman. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
So in episode 32, I talked about reading, and I was encouraging my listeners to read more and give you some strategies of how to read. In episode 35, last Friday, I was talking about, here are some, if you're not going to read, at least watch these business shows so that you can grow and learn more, gain some business acumen. And I talked about two dozen business shows, including Shark Tank and The Prophet and The Apprentice. And just for the sake of time, I could not go into what I'm going to go into in this episode, which is how the Apprentice got started. It's hard to remember, but if we roll back the clock about 5 or 6 years, Donald Trump wasn't a political figure. He was a businessman. He was a role model. People used him as an example. He was featured on episodes like The Simpsons as a businessman or what, right? I mean, the political Donald Trump is not the same thing as the businessman Donald Trump. We want to take a step back and just think through that. So this is not a political pitch. Regardless of your sentiments about Donald Trump, good, bad, or ugly, just set that aside and think about how he functioned as a businessman. So I use Trump as an example in class to explain outcome differences. Outcome differences always exist. As long as people have liberty, different people are going to, we're not going to all end in exactly the same space because different people are going to do different things. So I'd say, like, let's say we just a thought experiment. We redistributed all the wealth there was in the world and gave everybody exactly everything. So now we all have $100,000, just using round numbers, let's say. In a year or 5 years, it's not going to look like we're not all going to have $100,000 anymore because we're not all going to do the same things with it. Some people are going to go out and spend it because they don't know not to. Donald Trump is going to be Donald Trump again because he knows how to do this. He has that business background. So I use Donald Trump as that example in class for years, not having no idea that he would eventually become the president of the United States. In The Art of the Deal, his first book, the book that really made him, he said this: "I don't do it for the money. I've got enough, much more than I'll ever need. I do it to do it. Deals are my art form. Other people paint beautifully on canvas or write poetry. I like making deals, preferably big deals. That's how I get my kicks. Most people are surprised by the way I work. I play it very loose. I don't carry a briefcase. I try not to schedule too many meetings. I leave my door open. You can't be imaginative or entrepreneurial if you got too much structure. I prefer to come to work each day and just see what happens." Okay, now, that's an interesting quote. That's page one, Art of the Deal. It's an interesting quote for a couple of reasons. One, that deals are his art form. That's how he thinks about it. And the other one is that he gives himself a lot of flexibility and he plays it loose. Okay, so let's think about this. In episode 35, I talked about how, you know, Trump began doing The Apprentice. I said I was going to do another episode on that. And so that's what I'm going to do right now. So I found what I'm going to talk about in a book by Bill O'Reilly, The United States of Trump, published, I think, 2019. And he talked about the backstory to The Apprentice. It's fairly straightforward. So Mark Burnett is the producer of The Apprentice. And Mark Burnett made his chops on Survivor. And Survivor lasted for a long time. Everybody knows the show Survivor. But he was looking for another TV show kind of like Survivor, and he was taking the Survivor idea and he kind of applied it to the business realm. And that's where we got The Apprentice. People are voted off every week and they have to go through these tasks, but it was in a corporate business kind of setting rather than something like, on an island somewhere deserted, trying to find food. So Trump would be, now I'm quoting, Trump would be the rich mogul who decides who gets kicked off the corporate island each week. It was Survivor with nice grooming. And it immediately appealed to the businessman Trump because he knew the following things. One, he was the sole star, and the plot lines would always feature him as superhero in business, a strong, successful guy who rules his domain, right? That's the image that Trump's always trying to project, and he's been doing that for pretty much his whole entire adult life. Two, his company would receive 50% of the profit with no investment on his part other than the time. In fact, it appears that his overall compensation for the apprentice clocked in at north of $200 million. $200 million. So Trump is making $200 million for just basically showing up and ad-libbing. Three, Survivor had been huge and Mark Burnett was hot in Hollywood. And so he was going with a fast horse and he knew it. The Trump Tower would be the primary set for a nice fee. So he's getting to promote himself and his properties. This is a win-win-win-win-win situation. Next, his actual work time was short. He shows up, ad-libs most of the dialogue, and leaves. And that's what I want to focus on because his risk reward was amazing. He did very little effort, but he got huge reward because he just struck a good deal. And I want you to think in this way. Next, his other properties and overall brand are featured on the program on a regular basis, giving him sensational marketing opportunities at no cost. And that's before the $200 million. That's extra free marketing in a TV show that people are watching because they want to watch it. Next, he's seen worldwide as very powerful, the ultimate successful guy in America. And so O'Reilly concludes, for Donald Trump, The Apprentice was the best deal he ever made, and the smart money knows it set him up for a presidential run. I think that's right. I think it did set him up for a presidential run. And, you know, this was just such a smart way of doing it. But it all came down to thinking efficiently about the deal. Now, that brings us back to the art of the deal. Remember, the very little risk. I mean, he shows up, ad-libs a little bit. The set is all his properties. And he's getting compensated. He's getting half of the proceeds for doing very little. There's not a lot that could go wrong here. In The Art of the Deal, Donald Trump talks about how he was trying to take over the Holiday Inn at one point. And this is page 222, if you're that interested in that. So the stock's at $54 a share in August of 1986, and he's in a position to purchase it, and he's thinking, you know, he can control the entire company. Well, he says this, quote, "No sooner did word get out that I began accumulating Holiday Inn stock than this price started to rise. I assume arbitragers were buying up the stock, figuring that I'd either make a move for control or someone else would. By early October, the price of the stock had reached 72. On Wednesday, November 11th, I heard from Alan Greenberg of Bear Stearns that Holiday was restructuring the company to fend off a potential hostile bid and was going to borrow $2.8 billion in order to pay an immediate $65 a share dividend to the shareholders. The stock jumped to 76. Without hesitation, I told Alan to sell, and he agreed. I still believe I could have overcome any barriers that Holiday tried to put in my way, but I just wasn't particularly eager to spend my life in court with these guys." Okay, so what do we learn from that? Donald Trump, just by switching gears and having himself positioned right in the deal, made $32 million just by selling the stock rather than trying to go for control because people thought that it was lazy. I mean, it was like he hardly even worked for it. Okay, that's page 222 if you want to look that up in The Art of the Deal. You also want to read chapter 12 in The Art of the Deal on the Woolman Rink. I'm not going to belabor the book. I'm not trying to, you know, sell you on reading that book. But I want you to think about the efficiency. If you can have a low cost, high reward scenario, do that deal every time. Peter Drucker said this, "Efficiency is doing things right. Effectiveness is doing the right things." And he also said, "Efficiency is doing better what is already being done." Okay, so that's great. But I like this quote even better. And this is the quotation for contemplation for today. "Efficiency is intelligent laziness." So how can you think like Trump the businessman? How can you be efficiently lazy? How can you maximize what you bring to the table by carving deals in such a way that you're going to get the biggest bang for the buck? Think about that, and you'll be the kind of leader that can do great things. Talk to you later. Gosh, I love that quote, "Efficiency is intelligent laziness." I mean, there's just something brilliant about that.